Welcome, one and all, to another episode of Toonami Therapy. It is August 2nd, and we missed last week, but, because of a bunch of things that happened, but we're back, and we're shorter than ever. Yeah, we've kind of decided to cut down a bit on the things we're watching, because there's just so many, and it takes a while, and it kind of gets a little repetitive, like when I say, wow, this episode of Black Clover was better in the manga because it didn't have all this padding. And so many times it gets a little repetitive and such. So right now we're just going to be doing My Hero Academia, JoJo, and Hunter x Hunter. We'll see what might happen when some more shows premiere later on. But for now, that's what we're doing. So yeah. Shall we get into it?
Yeah, I thought you might want to announce also that Attack on Titan Season 3 is coming sometime soon.
I thought we already announced that.
I thought that was JoJo we announced. That was JoJo was okay. Coming up, Part 4.
No, well, I remember because we talked some about Attack on Titan Season 3, and I was mentioning...
Oh, okay.
At least I'm pretty sure it might have been off. No, I'm pretty sure it was on the podcast. So, but yeah, okay. that's coming soon. The new thing is that we're going to be let's see, how's it going? JoJo finishes, we get Part 4. The FLCL reruns finishes, then we get Attack on Titan. Pop Team Epic finishes, and then we get Boruto.
Boruto's coming?
Yeah. Really? I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. I don't know if it's good or not. It's apparently, I think it takes place before the Boruto manga, so, or maybe they actually got into the manga. I don't know. I know very little about the series, actually.
Yeah, I saw, like, the first episode of it at a con, and it just felt like Naruto all over again.
Yeah, maybe I'll check it out. You know, of course, this is a sequel series, so it has all the big spoilers on who the characters end up with.
Yeah, it's just like Dragon Ball Super airing at the same time as Dragon Ball Z Kai.
Yeah, it is kind of like that, really. But yeah, trying to think if there's anything else I can think of that's quite like that, and I'm sort of drawing a blank. There's I was going to say, well, it would be like Part 1 of JoJo airing with Part 2, but they don't do that, and they're kind of regarded as the same show anyway, instead of separate ones, but weren't we supposed to talk about My Hero Academia?
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to be covering both of the episodes. So we got episodes 11 and 12. So to summarize, essentially, The kids keep fighting the villains along with Eraser Head, and they're actually able to do decently, and we get to see some of their powers and stuff. But then they're ultimately just, you know, overwhelmed and such, and until All Might shows up and is like, yeah, I am an important character in the series. Remember me? And he shows up wearing a tie, he's all dressed up too. He's got the tie on, which he does admittedly take off. Anyway, so he's gets into the fight against Nomu, the big monster thing, and seems to be losing. But then some of the kids, you know, manage to help him, and then he's able to, you know, actually beat him by, you know, punching him enough that his shields. His sort of armor goes down, and then he gives him with a super big punch that causes him to go flying just like Team Rocket. Literally, it even has a little ping, like, visual after he gets blasted away.
Mm-hmm.
And, that was basically the episodes.
Yeah, I like the whole thing about All Might, like, only having a little bit of time left, even though it did feel like Ichigo all over again. I was like, where did I see this before? And, of course, he keeps on saying, I got only I got only about 30 seconds or a minute or something like that to go. And then it's like 10 minutes later in the episode and he's still got like another minute left.
Oh, hang on. Let's save that discussion for when we get to JoJo. But yeah, I thought on the whole they were pretty entertaining. I did like the fight between All Might and the Nomu. It's we're so kind of used to like shonen battles just being whoever's like tricky technique manages to out-trick the others that it was really refreshing for one to just be more like an actual fight where you just try to like to just inflict enough damage on the opponent before they can do it to you.
Mm-hmm. I like the fact that Kachan showed a different side of himself mm-hmm. and isn't just like generic rival anymore.
So. Yeah, that was good. Definitely, he is kind of a little better in that way, and that he actually, despite being a jerk and kind of selfish, still does have like a real heroic side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, that's good. We've I think we've got one episode left of this season, and then they go on to season two of the series because we're getting them all in one go.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good because I've heard from what I remember the manga, the stuff after this is more interesting, and a lot of people have said, oh, season two is better, so that's something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we'll move on to JoJo Stardust Crusaders episodes 45 and 46. So Polnareff is up against Dio, and he's separated by some stairs. So he tries to climb the stairs, but finds out that he's still in the same place because he didn't get all 70 stars to fight Bowser yet. I know that joke is way too obvious. But although it is amusing to consider, because we find out that Dio's power is to actually stop up time, that means in-universe what's happening is Polnareff takes a step up, Dio freezes time, walks down the stairs, picks him up, puts him down one step down, walks back up to the top of the stairs, and then resumes time.
Yeah, I was wondering how that didn't really make much sense to me, honestly. I'm glad you pointed that out, because that was a little weird.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so everyone goes after Dio, but starts realizing that they might be out of their depth, so they decide to sort of run off and such. But they end up fighting him anyway, and Kakyoin is able to surround him with, I can't remember the name of his stand's ability, but he does it, and he's like, yeah, now I'm going to kill you. And then Dio activates the world, or as they said in the much more mimetic Japanese version, the Wordo. and then is able to fatally wound him. But then Kakyoin figures it out, gives what it means, gives the message to Joseph, and who then basically, but he gets he gets super severely injured by Dio, and when Jotaro shows up and starts fighting him, because I'm not sure why Dio doesn't just freeze time to instead of fighting, but I'm guessing there's like a cooldown on that ability or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, that's the episode. And two other things to mention. This would have been so much better if I'd said it during my synopsis, because now it feels a little weird. But I just wanted to mention that after freezing time, Dio spends about a minute or two talking about how he can only keep time frozen for 3 seconds. And he's not, and here, I just need to be this clear. He's not thinking this. He is actually opening and closing his mouth. He's physically saying that in real time. The world must just, only count when he's actually moving. When he's just pontificating, the thing doesn't go down at all.
Yeah, I think his stand is pretty broken, to be honest. But I'm sure there's going to be something even more broken to beat it. So
That's what I've heard so much about the, well, this is going forward, but that's basically my understanding of what happens at the end of part five. The villain has like this astoundingly broken stand, but then the good guys manage to develop one that's even more broken. But yeah. So, like you, in your review, you mentioned for it, you liked the second one a lot, and the first one thought it was decent, but didn't really like it as much, which is kind of my opinion of them also.
Yeah, the second one was really exciting. I mean, I did like that whole thing with the senator, like how he was forcing the senator to do that and how he was getting embarrassed. Though I thought it was kind of a waste of time that we spent about like a couple minutes with the senator talking about how great he was. Like, we know this senator is not important and we're never going to see him again. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this senator is a big, very important character. But,
well, didn't Dio kill him?
Well, I'm just saying, maybe he comes back, but I don't know why we needed to know all that stuff about the senator. I really don't.
Yeah, that I mean, when you get down to it, even that, I guess it made some sense to have someone else drive it because I guess maybe because Dio probably doesn't know how to drive. But yeah, we did go through a lot of this stuff with him. Maybe like the author just thought, well, we're going to be spending all this time. We're going to have this character here. We might as well give him some sort of personality and get some jokes out of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely were exciting. I thought I liked Kakyoin's death more than definitely a lot more than Avdol's, who just kind of dies without actually accomplishing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least Kakyoin, and again, I also kind of agree with you that we don't really have that much of a reason to care about him. He's gotten, like, compared to, you know, the three guys that are still around, like, not as much development. But at least he, you know, was able to, you know, figure out Dio's stand, and the way he was able to communicate it, I thought was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, and of course we get the big flashback about his past just before he dies. Okay. So then we'll move to Hunter x Hunter episodes 104 and 105.
Yeah, so this was my favorite thing of the week, because I guess it's kind of pointless to do top three whenever we're only doing three things. But basically, in the first episode, there's more of the Gunji playing. And basically, the king comes up with a brand new strategy, which I can compare it to. Here's what I compare it to. Okay, you probably know that I'm a chess player. If not, I used to play chess competitively, not for money, just to because that was supposedly going to help me in life. Well, I was a very rigid, by-the-book player. So every time I played white, I played the same opening. Every time I played black, I played the same opening. And anytime someone tried to do an opening that was not like anything that I always did, then my game would be completely thrown off and I'd always lose. So if you're wondering, I always played the two knights defense with white, and I played the French defense with black. But anyway, I this is what the king tries to do, he tries to play a totally different strategy. It's like some sort of castling. Mm-hmm. I forget what it was called.
Yeah, I think they said like something about castling in it. Yeah. A word like that.
Right. And then it turns out that the girl whose name hasn't been revealed in the series, but her name is in all the episode descriptions, so it's like kind of hard not to be spoiled on it. But I won't say her name here just for the sake of it. But she invented that strategy. So so even though he came up with that strategy, she invented it and she figured out how to beat it. So she beats him and he gets all mad and takes a hissy fit because that's his character. Then there's some stupid stuff with Moral and the cheetah, and it's so stupid because he spends all that time trying to beat him, and he figures out how to do it, and then he just lets him go, which I did not understand at all, and I thought was really dumb. So Moral and Nov are busy trying to infiltrate the castle. And I honestly don't even remember when they were introduced. And I don't know why they get such strong focus on them now, because...
Which characters? You mean like Moral and...
Moral and Nov.
I think they got introduced when the chairman guy first came to this country. So it was it would have been shortly before... Knuckle and Shoot were introduced.
Yeah, I just don't understand why they got so, why they continue to get so much attention. But anyway, then the next episode, the king tries a different strategy. So again, this Goonji playing is really important. And, because it keeps him from going out and killing other people. But he is, now he's trying to do it like mentally, trying to psych her out. So he says, well, why don't we bet on something? So if you lose, you give up your left arm. And she's like, well, that isn't enough. I'll give you up my whole life if I lose. So... He realizes that he can't even psych her out, so he gets mad and he takes off his arm for no reason.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about. Why did he do that?
I mean, that was just totally pointless. And it makes sense in the fact that the author of this, whoever made Hunter Hunter, needed a reason. He needed a reason to have Pico healing him and distracted. That way it would make it so that they could infiltrate the castle. But still, it didn't make any sense why he did that. So, that was a little weird.
Yeah, because I mean, well, the one bit of sense it makes is because he was like, you bet your left arm, and he's like, okay, I will take off my left arm. So I'm like, okay, so it's left arm, and you mentioned that there, but how does that still logically lead to this? I don't understand it at all.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't make very much sense. I will admit that. So then we've got... Well, that's pretty much it, actually. I can't think of anything else really important that happened.
Oh, there were two things. One was at the end where, where that guy, I can't remember his name, and, well, his name probably isn't important, but, like, the human guy who's, like, you know, trying to find women or something, and then he goes... And then he, like, picks one named Sinkerbell, which is actually Palm, who's trying to infiltrate the place or something.
Yeah. He's like the... Basically, from what the narrator explains, and again, this is one of my big problems with it, is that it's like way too much narration.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, he's controlling the... He's been the one controlling the whole country, like, the whole time. He's the de facto leader of the country, and he just, like, does everything from his from there, which doesn't make much sense to me, because it's like, what is he getting out of it? He's like stuck in a room smoking cigarettes, and that's his entire life. So it doesn't make sense why he would even want to be controlling a country, because it doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
I just found it funny that when the word Tinkerbell, I assume that's, of course, supposed to be a reference to Tinkerbell, but when I saw that, the first thing it reminded me of was Stringer Bell from The Wire. I'm not sure what that says about me, but yeah, like, the narrator just went on and on and on. And he also just sounds like so, like, uninterested. Like, you know, the JoJo narrator can talk a bit, but he's always excited.
Yeah, this narration thing gets worse, and it becomes like a real problem. Like, it becomes like everything. So yeah, so that's those two episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were the stuff with the outside of the just the nonsensicalness of I'm not sure if that's a word, but it's what I'm using, of him like just ripping off his arm. The stuff with the Gungi that stuff was kind of cool. But with the rest of it just kind of feeling kind of meh. But that was good. I mean, the arm part aside.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much my view on this arc, is that everything with the Gungi playing it is good, but the actual battles and stuff gets brought down by the narrator.
Yeah, I just kind of wish that at some point we were given like the rules for the game. I know it's a made up game, but like, you know, but it still kind of would have been interesting to see that. But I'm guessing maybe it's a case of if the author did that, then people would be able to test stuff out and say, wait, this game isn't that skill intensive at all.
Right. I mean, he would have to be brilliant at creating a game in order to find a way to make it, you know, hard enough.
Yeah, but it does make me at least kind of wish there were like some rules so I could at least try it out or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
he should have just made a chess and made her like a grandmaster, like whatever that guy's name who is, who like has like a 2600 rating. You heard of that guy, Magnus Carlsen or something?
Yeah, I recognize.
I guess he's like even better than Garry Kasparov was. He's just like unbelievable. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's yeah. It's been so a while. I can't remember how. So does he have the highest rating in the world right now?
Yeah, like highest rating ever.
Okay. Is he also world champion then, or?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh golly, I'm just looking him up. The guy's only 27.
Yeah.
I never looked at him before now, and I just see the picture. Whoa, that guy's young. See, this is the issue. with being like a professional chess player, you could very easily just go up against someone who's like 15 and just get completely demolished.
Right.
Because there are some like insanely good people who are like in their teens. There was even, what was his name? Let me just look him up. Yeah, like A Wonder Liang. He set all these records and stuff. He got a rating of 2000 at the United States Chess Federation at the age of 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah, he's that. And when did he become a grandmaster? I'm not surprised to see he became a grandmaster, but yeah. Oh, he also beat a grandmaster at standard time limit at the age of 9 years. Although technically someone else did previously, he just beat that person's record. Let's see.
So have I ever told you about the time I almost beat a master at chess? Like they were now. It was one of those simul things.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy was playing like 30 people at once.
Mm-hmm.
And no one gave him a battle at all except for me. So I had a lead by a whole piece, like a knight or a bishop, and then I choked. I mean, well, because the entire everyone else had been checkmated, so the entire room came over to watch my game because they thought they were going to see something spectacular. And I choked really badly, and I ended up blowing the game. And it was really embarrassing. But it was like no one was, like everyone thought I did such a good job, but I was so mad at myself, and I still kick myself to this day because I could have beaten a master at chess, and I blew it.
Yeah. Okay, so I was looking that up. Oh, the person I mentioned, he wasn't like the youngest grandmaster. He was just the 12th youngest. He was second youngest American to get it, though. The youngest American to get the Grandmaster title was some guy named Samuel Sevian, who got it at the age of 13 years. Yeah, it's my understanding that one of the leading reasons people have been just getting these sort of things at younger and younger is the fact that because computers have gotten so good at chess, they're really great study tools. Get better at it.
From what I heard, that it's impossible to beat a computer at checkers. It's like literally impossible. Like,
well, checkers has been, as they say, solved. They've figured out, computers have figured out what the optimal play for the entire game is.
Yeah. Well, hasn't happened in chess yet, though.
No, there's just so many moves and possible variations that it hasn't happened. Maybe at some point people will actually figure out the optimal game, but we're probably still a long ways away from that. Then again, I mean, it's so often that when it comes to computers, we think we're a long ways away from something, and then it happens like just a few years later.
Like self-driving cars.
Yeah, or the time that computer beat I can't remember his title. He was like some really big Go player. I remember that like got a bunch of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And such. So yeah, stuff like that. But So I hope you enjoyed our podcast on chess. All right. So, I guess that's it for our discussion this time. We'll see what we do in future episodes. We might actually bring on some non-Toonami shows and discuss them. Some things are sort of in flux right now. We'll figure it out as we go along,
I might as well explain. The main reason is that I got bored with Dragon Ball Super and Black Clover, and I think we were both bored by Naruto. So we needed something to switch things up. So
yeah, it just yeah, and when we kind of made that decision, I just suddenly thought, golly, why did we keep watching Tokyo Ghoul for so long?
although
I suppose Tokyo Ghoul was all, it was bad, but it was always sort of bad in the way that you just, that there's just some, it always felt like you just had to keep going back to see, okay, is this the episode where it turns things around and becomes great?
Yeah.
Okay. And
Tokyo Ghoul's got a third season, so I'm sure that's going to show up on Toonami.
Yeah. I wonder how that'll work out, because it's my understanding season 2 like deviated from the manga in a bunch of ways, so I don't know how that works out. Maybe it'll make it on, maybe it won't. I guess we'll see. Just like we'll see about we'll see if a computer will be able to mathematically select the most popular anime for television. All right. So you can see our previous episodes at TommyAPhillips.com or TsunamiTherapy.podbean.com, and we'll be back next week, hopefully. And I don't have a particularly great quip to end it on, so we'll just see you next time.